Servant-hearted leadership, part four. Plurality of leadership. In the past three messages, I've been talking about what Jesus was teaching his 12 chosen disciples about servant-hearted leadership. When they were arguing about their greatness, Jesus told them to be humble and take the low position like little children. And he said this, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." When they witnessed the Pharisees showing off their authority by being greeted with honor in the marketplaces and taking the places of honor at synagogues and banquets, he told his 12 to shun such titles as rabbi and teacher, because Jesus says, "You have one teacher, and you are all brothers." So preachers and teachers are really just older classmates. Jesus is the teacher. He provides the lessons. We just help the younger classmates understand those lessons. We're just fellow classmates. We're all just brothers and sisters. Which is why I much prefer being called Brother Bruce than Pastor Bruce. And when James and John sought the highest places of authority in the coming kingdom, and the other disciples became upset with them, Jesus told them, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, or dominate them, and their high officials exercise authority, or power, over them. Not so with you." And he said, "The greatest among you should be like the youngest." And he said, "The one who rules should be like the one who serves." And finally, during his Last Supper with them, he demonstrated his servant-hearted leadership by taking a towel and wash basin and washing their feet as the lowest servant in the household would do. Today, I want to talk a bit about pastors and elders. And I want to talk about how essential it is that a church have a true plurality of leadership if it wants to follow the New Testament model. Listen to this. Philippians 1, verse 1, Paul writes, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons." Paul is writing a very important letter to the church at Philippi. This letter Paul wrote is filled with profound truths and many encouraging words. And notice who he addresses. He addresses the members of the church when he says to God's holy people at Philippi. He addresses the overseers, otherwise known as elders. He also addresses the deacons. If he addresses the members, the elders, and the deacons of the church, why in the world wouldn't he address the pastor of the church? Answer? Because there wasn't one. There wasn't one. 1 Peter 5:1. The Apostle Peter is writing to the church. He writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers." Now, what do we learn from this? First, note that Peter is writing to all the elders of the churches that he is responsible for, but he doesn't address the pastors of those churches. You would think that if the Apostle Peter is writing this most important message to the churches, he would address the pastors of those churches, unless those churches didn't have a pastor. He says, "To the elders among you." And what is the charge he gives all these elders? "Shepherd God's flock that is under your care." Shepherd. What does the word pastor mean? It's just another word for shepherd. So if elders are called to shepherd, then elders are pastors. There are different kinds of pastors, administrative pastors, preaching and teaching pastors, that elders are shepherds, and shepherds are pastors. Then he goes on to say, shepherd God's flock that is under your care, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So just as Paul did with the church at Philippi, Peter addresses the elders or overseers, but nowhere in the letter does he address the pastor of each of those churches, because there wasn't one. There was a true plurality of leadership in those New Testament churches. We see this again in Acts 20, verse 17. It says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. Then verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. So he says to the elders, shepherd God's flock. So we see here again, elders are shepherds, and shepherds are pastors. And once again, there is no mention of a pastor of the church of Ephesus being at this most important meeting with Paul, because there wasn't one. There was a plurality of leadership. In Paul's letter to Titus, he wrote in chapter 1, verse 5, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. He gives direction to Titus to appoint elders, but neglects to mention the need for appointing a pastor, because the pastoring or shepherding responsibility was to be shared by those elders that Titus was to appoint. Wherever you look, the New Testament model calls for a true plurality of leaders. And this plurality of leadership is the very ground that you grow servant-hearted leadership from. Wherever you do not have a true plurality of leaders, and any man or woman dominates, corruption to the servant-hearted model is almost inevitable. And as to titles, as I mentioned before, Peter refers to the Apostle Paul not as the Apostle Paul, but as our dear brother Paul. Nowhere in the New Testament can you find a believer addressing another believer as pastor so-and-so, or elder so-and-so, or even deacon so-and-so. This is important, what we call each other, because every time someone is addressed by a superior title, we are reminded of their elevated status. But every time someone is addressed as sister or brother, we're reminded that we are all on a level. All just brothers and sisters, helping each other get the lessons that Jesus teaches us. The only one deserving a title of honor here is the Lord Jesus himself. To sum it up, plurality of leadership is the biblical norm. And the job of pastors and teachers is to train others up in the ways of the Lord. But more on this next week.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.